That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this, well, it's a beautiful Saturday morning, this 26th day of January, and let me bring the men on, get the buttons pushed here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim from Nebraska. How you doing, Tim?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful, thanks. Glad to be here.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and thanks for joining us. Hopefully you've got your coffee and your Bible and tuning in, whether you're on the shortwave or the internet, or maybe you've just dialed the number. I can give you that here real quick if you don't have it. I should have that written down, but I've got it in my phone, so when I'm out traveling, I can tune in. But you can call 712-775-5613 and listen in right on your phone. And another number is 605-781-9781. And we put those out in the newsletter that we send out and share them with the remnant and the listeners. But any way you are, we are glad you joined us here this Saturday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is going to be a beautiful day, whether it's cloudy or snowy or sunny and warm. It will be a beautiful day because it's the day the Lord has made, and He has given us this day and this time to come together and to have fellowship with one another and to read His Word and to see what's going on and to share that with you guys. And so we're thankful to be here. And we will have the phone lines open in a little bit. But John, we're going to ask you if you would open us up in prayer first.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings. We also thank you for our trials and our tribulations, Lord. Your word says that you use these things to refine us into the men and women that you want us to be, and that you only test those that you love. So, Father, we thank you for not only our blessings, but for our trials and our tribulations. Your word also says that we're to be thankful for all things. Sometimes that's not very easy to do, but Lord, we know that with the help of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. So, Father, we call upon the Holy Spirit, that great helper, to comfort those that need comforting, to strengthen those that need strengthening, to grant wisdom, understanding, and discernment to those that are in times in their lives where they have to make important decisions. Father, help our people to realize that the day has come when they must choose ye this day who they shall serve, whether it be the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ of the Bible, or they choose to serve Baal. Father, we can see that laws that are in place that contradict your laws that are nationwide are coming to the brink of being overturned, Father. But we can also see that the states, certain states, are gnashing their teeth, and they will not allow the power that they gain from innocent sacrifice to be taken from them. In fact, they've upped their game, Lord. So, Father, we ask that you deal with them however you see fit. But, Lord, let your people know that we have decisions to make. And to make no mistake, we will be held accountable for the things that we support. The Bible is clear. The innocent blood cries out. And there will be retribution. There will be judgment for these things that have been done against those that have no defense. Father, I still believe that this whole thing can be won in the spiritual realm if your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. Then your promise is there that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive our sin, and you will heal our land. So I ask, Lord, that you would raise up mighty prayer warriors all across the country and through the world that are willing to put the time in, Father. Father, I admit that I don't put the time in that I need to put in, that I don't set aside the time from the things of the world to pray like I ought to pray. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask that the Holy Spirit would help me to get my priorities straight and to do what needs to be done, Lord, to support your righteous angels as they battle Leviathan in the high places. We continue to call for ministering angels to minister to those that can be ministered to those that can repent, to those that can change, Lord. Remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears. Bring them into the fold, Lord. But let those that have not only been called, but have been chosen, realize that with great reward comes great responsibility. So, Father, help us to not only understand that we have a responsibility, but to act on that responsibility. Grant us an understanding, hearing, hearkening heart, that we may hear ye the Lord, and help us to be obedient, Father. We know that your word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that you're ready to punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people when our obedience is complete. Father, we can't get to that point where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength without your help. So we ask, Lord. You say we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for more Holy Spirit. We're asking for more wisdom and knowledge and discernment. We're asking for myriads and myriads of angels to be used, Father, against the enemy. to turn your people back to you, to protect your people, and to defeat those that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, as we see them continue to raise their heads bolder and bolder all across the country. Father, protect those that are yours. Send confusion into the camp of the enemy. Cause them to turn upon one another and to destroy one another. We plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over those that are yours, Lord, those that have been born again of the water and the Spirit, those that have been purchased out of this world and brought into your realm. It's in the name above all other names that we pray these things, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Father, direct us as to what it is that you would have us to speak about today. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Well, Remnant, we will have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, and there is lots going on. I would like to start out with a prayer request and a praise report. And prayer request is we've got a dear Christian sister, Donna Patkowski, and her husband Frank in Oklahoma. Been on the ministry as long as I've been here, and have always faithfully supported us. And Frank, we prayed for him. He's been battling dementia, and this past week he had pneumonia and had a heart attack. And he's in the hospital. We sent an urgent prayer request out yesterday. And so I would just ask the Remnant to keep Frank and Donna in your prayers. They're an older couple, have grown sons, and but they are our people for sure. And they love the Lord, and they have obeyed the Lord. And some of those verses you prayed, John, I had an opportunity to share with Donna. And so, well, Heavenly Father, you know Frank and Donna. So, Lord, I just real simply ask your Holy Spirit to be there with them, to protect them. Lord, we pray all the blessings on these true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, Lord. Your blessings on them. Father, we rebuke Satan. We rebuke the evil that come against those that desire to serve you and those that do serve you, Lord. We know that testing comes, and they've been tested, and they've passed the test, Lord. And so, Lord, if any of this that's upon them now is from the evil one, Father, we rebuke it, and we cancel the assignment that might have been made. And, Father, we know that greater are you that are for us and for Frank and Donna than anything that can come against us. And so comfort Miss Donna, Lord, and we pray your health and your healing and your protection on Frank, Lord. And we call for angels to surround them in all that they do. They're in the hospital, and we just thank you, Lord. We do. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm.
And I want to give a praise report. My oldest sister and her husband, their house burned last night in Savannah, Georgia, Linda and Jim. So I would ask you, Remnant, to keep Linda and Jim in your prayers. They're mid-late 60s, and that's a tough thing. But praise God, they all got out. Their daughter and three grandchildren were over at the time, and everybody made it out. But that's still a stressful time, and so I'd sure appreciate the prayers for them and the praises. And that's certainly what I'm trying to convey to them, and I am conveying to them that, you know, to be thankful and not to see what the material things that maybe they've lost, but the things that they have their family and they have their faith. And so, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, folks, the program this morning is Coffee with the Wranglers, and we've got our coffee. Hopefully you've got yours, and mine I'm sure enjoying it because it's about 15 degrees outside and looking back to the east, and going to have a beautiful sunrise this morning. Looks like it's starting to glow pretty good, and tons going on. Lots going on. I guess maybe we'd start with, you know, looks like the government's getting back to work. Our president did sign
not
a bill.
Too bad.
Yeah, to end the government shutdown. And I don't, Tim and I were mentioning just before, the program. I certainly don't claim to understand what our president is doing. But he has done, I would, in my view, he has done well. He has done good in these first 2 years that he's been there. And I really don't see him jumping ship and changing course now. And we talk about playing checkers and chess, and I've just about got the checkerboard figured out, you know, when there's checkers on it. But these guys play, like you say, John, 4D chess. And I believe our president is still doing that. And it seems to me that, you know, I know that there's been some families all across the country that are federal employees that have been facing hardships. We know that our country is facing hardships, and then being out of work for a month with no pay, that's tough. That's tough. And so that's how I see part of this, is that he is considering them and not caving, not just giving up, but I see it as an act of help and compassion. Maybe not on those and the categories this government has for the people, whether they're essential, non-essential, partial non-essential on Tuesdays, and then fully non-essential on Friday. It's insane. I've seen some of the stuff. But there are families, and they've been impacted. And a good thing also that's happened during this is we've seen food banks. We've seen veterans go spend their own money and take money even to Denver Airport, to like TSA workers. And things like that, all across the country. They had a big food bank open up here in Laramie just for these people. And so it is good, you know, that there have been good things that have come out of this as well, that, you know, people have stepped up. Go ahead, John.
The reality is they got a 30-day paid vacation. That's what happened. And there's never been a time where the government shut down and those people weren't paid all their back pay. The sad thing is, you know, we were told basically that this was going to be an attrition of those who were basically still left over from the abomination era. After 20 days, there was ways to furlough some of these people. And far as I know, I haven't seen any of that. So it's business as usual. And in my opinion, it's quite disheartening. Although the plan is on February 15th to reevaluate, possibly shut the government down again or move forward with the national emergency to build the wall. I have to say that I'm disappointed and it's somewhat disheartening. And it tells me that probably not enough Christians are praying against these things that are going on. But then again, if you read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, there's times to make tactical concessions and retreats. So a lot of reasons for the enemy to gloat, which has already happened, and as far as Pelosi and Schumer and I guess we just have to continue to trust that we know that God's in control and nothing happens that he don't allow to happen.
Amen.
So, but it also tells me that we need to step up our prayers against the enemies of God.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. You know what most people don't realize? I've been kind of telling people about this lately, but most people don't realize that in the event that something happened to the president and the vice president, the third person in charge who would become the acting president is the Speaker of the House, and we all know who that is. So that's a pretty sobering, scary thought. In reality, you don't put it past the enemy to take out the president and the vice president. At least try, and I think they probably already have, but I think there's also a reason that they don't put those two in the same area for a long period of time, or I don't even know if they do hardly at all.
Very
probably
rarely.
They're smarter than, yeah.
So,
but that's a sobering thought.
very much so. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I've heard a little chatter about this whole deal as far as this, supposedly what the number was, 800,000 employees, I think, that were out of work as a result of this government shutdown. And, you know, one of the things I heard that sounded to me like it could be a potential, and I have no idea, could be a potential point was just that he's attempting with this temporary shutdown until February 15th to shine a light on the hypocrisy of this socialist party that is continually working against him. They've said, oh, well, if you do this, we'll do that. And it's been rather, you know, public, of course, this whole debacle has been well publicized, but, you know, he may be reopening the government just to show the verification of their intent to shine that light on their hypocrisy that, no, it's, they're not going to do that. And, we still have an emergency powers, implementation of wall funding on the table if we need it. And, you know, maybe that's what it is. The other interesting thing to me is we're talking about 800,000 employees, and when you consider that the largest employer in the United States is the government, maybe he's trying to garner some support there from government employees, you know, or separate those out as far as the tares from the wheat in those regards. And like I say, I don't have any idea, but our God is on the throne, like you said, John. So I just keep praying on it. And keep trying to see exactly what's going on there, you know.
Right.
I did think it was interesting that, one of the other things that saddened me greatly, and it gets lost in a lot of the shutdown hype and everything else, is this new abortion law in New York.
You know, that's horrible.
Was just,
yeah.
I mean, I had to read that twice to actually get, it was like, oh Lord, and the depravity of people as regards this just leaves you, I don't know, it's stunning that people could be that, heartless and cruel. People are like, well, what extent would they go to? And all you have to do is look at that as an example of how heartless and how godless and what depths of depravity that they'll plumb in order to serve their master, Satan. You know, I mean, when we talk about Baal and we talk about, you know, if you read about those, they talk about burying children under the corner posts of buildings and creating walls and stuff with these children that they had done that with. And those sorts of things get closer every day with rules like this. I mean, that's basically, what they're doing. What a godless, what a sinful, what a, you know, totally honorless way to treat children and to treat.
They're pulling out all the stops to gain as much power as they can from their God. I mean, I've read quite a bit of this too. It sickened me when I first heard about it. But you know, here's the quote from Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. There, we have a president who's made it very, very clear that he wants to overturn Roe versus Wade. Said Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins, and basically Andrew Cuomo, the governor, he couldn't wait to sign the bill once the House and the Senate, which just now, you know, they've had this bill in play since 2007 and never been able to get it passed. Well, this year, just like in Colorado, they lost the House and the Senate and the governorship to the demon rats, which is what they are, let's face it. And
absolutely,
which allowed them to pass this. But he couldn't wait to sign it, and in fact, in celebration of it, he let's see, what did it say? He lit the can't remember, but kind of like what Obama Nation did when he lit the White House up in a rainbow. He lit some major building up in pink.
Pink white.
What most people don't understand is there's eight basic fundamentals that this law, it pretty much does away with any law that was in place to protect the unborn all the way up until birth. But their quote was, "The fundamental right to abortion is enshrined in the New York Constitution. Every individual who becomes pregnant has a fundamental right to choose to carry the pregnancy to term, to give birth to the child, or to have an abortion. The law allows non-physicians to perform abortions. Healthcare practitioner licensed, certified, or authorized under Title VIII of the Education Law, acting in his or her lawful scope or practice, may perform an abortion. The law allows abortion through the third trimester, including up to birth. Third trimester abortions will be allowed under the new law when the preborn child is diagnosed with a condition that will cause him or her to die shortly after birth. The law removes protections for babies who survive an abortion procedure. The new law removes protections for babies born alive after an abortion, meaning they could be left to die after birth, by rescinding a portion of New York's public health law. The law prevents pregnant women whose babies are killed in an attack on a mother from seeking justice and could result in infanticide, by revealing the requirement for a second physician to be on hand in case of attempted abortion past 20 weeks yields a live infant. The law states that an unborn child cannot be a victim of a homicide if it dies while in the womb following an attack on a mother, which references basically there's no repercussions as far as criminal charges against someone who kills a child in the womb.
Yeah, it's an absolute. The lines are being drawn that to show the difference in this cultural and moral war that is being waged. You know, we have always had been a culture of life, of fighting for life, of respecting life. And you can put just respecting women in there as well. And the other cultures, it is the age-old fight of Jacob and Esau. It really is, because theirs is a culture of, has always been a culture of living by the sword, living in violence, and dying in violence. And that's what, there is no respect for life whatsoever. And like you said, John, they're calling out all the stops. They know their time is near, and they can do nothing but grow taller, straighter, haughtier, like the tares that they are. You mentioned that this morning, Tim. They are tares, and they are in amongst the wheat, and they are just, you know, loving this filth that they're bringing forth. And the wheat are bowing down more and more for various reasons, some because of the burdens, some because of the sorrow, some are hitting their knees and praying. We certainly encourage that, and we see and know that many are. But the tares, they're lumping together. They are thinking that they are hot stuff, that, like you said, John, what, 12 years they've been working to get this passed? 12 years they've been working, and just got it passed here in New York.
Well, like we prayed, the time is coming to choose ye this day who shall serve.
That's right.
You know, you got states like New York, and at the risk of being accused of picking on California, you know, enforcing and strengthening their abortion laws, mainly because they see the fact that, you know, I don't even know if Ginsburg's still alive, but we get one more Supreme Court justice, and Roe versus Wade, I think, is going to be overturned. But, you know, the good news is you see states like Tennessee and Texas and several others, Alabama and some of the Bible Belt states that are that are actually making huge strides against abortion. Some have even got to the place where they got high-ranking judges that are upholding their ban on funding Planned Parenthood and things like that. So, you know, the lines are being drawn, just like you said, all across the country, and certain states are showing their true colors. My concern is the fact that what happened in New York happened here in Colorado, and it's, you know, it's very possible that the things that we've been battling here for as long, you know, 12, 15 years, that have been laws that they've tried to pass and haven't been able to pass because they didn't have both houses, or the House and the Senate, and they didn't have the governorship, all three. They weren't able to pass these radical things, but the fact that they have all three now, you know, you can kind of see that the writing's on the wall there as well. But the good news is the lines are being drawn. There's states that are making huge strides against abortion, and even some of these judges, I think, are being removed or convicted to the point of, you know, there's still some that fear God and what he can do to them. Don't fear the one that can kill you, but the one that once he's killed you can send you to hell.
Amen.
And I think a perfect example of this is, you know, there's a lot of good people in the Catholic faith. They're just deceived.
Yes.
Many of them don't even know why they're in the Catholic faith, other than that's the way it's always been. It's a family tradition. Exactly. And the bottom line is, you know, you look at the things that the Pope is doing these days. I mean, I exposed several years ago in a series of articles that it was the Roman Catholic Church that founded Islam. And you, if you can't see that it's one and the same now, at least in the upper echelon, then you really need to pray for eyes to see. But one of the things I was going to bring up was the Cardinal Dolan in the news again. There is millions of Catholics that are calling for the excommunication of Como over this decision regarding abortion. And it's interesting to see what Cardinal Dolan actually says. It says, "It's not an appropriate response." He went on to say that excommunication is typically called for by frustrated Catholics who are upset. Let's see, Cardinal Dolan, spokesman about Governor Cuomo's excommunication of the New York abortion bill, while emphasizing that this should not be considered a comment or any specific person, he said excommunication should not be used as a weapon. So, I mean, you know, they're showing their true colors.
They are.
Yes, unless they want to use it. Yeah, right.
Right, unless they want to use it. You know, and I, John, like you mentioned there about that, there are many Catholics that just don't know. They've been deceived. And the Bible talks about that, a deception. But I think the very end of Jonah sheds light on that as far as God's compassion, because the very last of Jonah, Jonah 4:11 says, "Should I," and that's God, and he says, "Should I, as God, not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand?" And I think that shows the compassion that God has for those that don't know, that have never heard. And that, you know, that are deceived, and I think he will have compassion. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning, welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning. This is Suzanne from New York.
Hi, Suzanne. If you have your radio on, you have to turn it off in the background.
Yes. Hold on. I gotta move. I can't get it to stop. Yes. When you mentioned this. The law being in the making for 12 years. My first thought was, you know, exoteric message, 12 years could represent the 12 tribes, and, you know, they are rubbing it in our faces whom they are murdering. That's what I was thinking. And the tower that this person lit up pink was the 9/11 victim's tower on top of it in bright pink. And when you look at that picture, it looks like an upside-down siren, you know, that they use in those evil deeds. I was totally outraged and been praying ever since, you know, for this abominable world to end. That's for sure. Maybe we could do an imprecatory prayer, like 109, to be real specific against something like that. I would appreciate it. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Suzanne. God bless.
Thank you, Suzanne. Yeah, it's sad. A lot of good, God-fearing Christian people in New York and all of these states that are, you know, making their stand against God and against His laws. I think we do have to be careful regarding the imprecatory prayer. You know, we've only been given so much authority. I tried to show last week in Job that even Michael the archangel, who threw Lucifer down and his minions, and basically, I believe, was second in charge when you read all the different scriptures, second only to Lucifer under God Almighty. He even said, "Lord, rebuke you," to Satan. So we need to make sure that whatever we're praying, we pray with the authority given to us as a son of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why I think it's important that we call for these ministering angels to minister to those that can repent.
Yes, absolutely.
Guardian angels to protect all of those that are His, and warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places. And that's how we need to be praying against these people in high places that are making these decisions. We also need to remember that what we see as a curse, God can change to a blessing. And I think that's the way we need to be praying. I continue to pray that the things in the dark were brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that God would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and could destroy one another. And but we definitely need to come up with a new prayer within the guidelines that God's given us against the enemy, and I'm definitely going to work on that.
Well, we speak about a lot of these things as regards this type of stuff, and it's not new. I mean, it's been going on in Egypt. The Pharaoh ordered that these children be aborted. I mean, it was post-birth abortion. Actually, it wasn't. He said at term, he commanded the midwives to go in and abort those children as they were being born. And they refused to follow the rules. We've seen that. Herod wanted the children killed when Christ was born. You know, there's precedent of these sorts of things. And I think that the other thing that we can take away from that that's important is the fact that there's a salvation imminent when they begin to attack our children in these manners. I mean, it creates a power and movement in the spiritual realm that overcomes that evil. I mean, I hope I'm making out the right point, but I was reminded of, I seen a post here, I don't remember just where the other day, but it was a prayer and somebody was praying and he said, "Well, God, how come you haven't sent us someone who could cure cancer and who could take care of this and who could take care of those sorts of things?" And God's response was, "Well, I have, but you aborted them." You know, and I think that it just made me aware of the fact that in biblical precedent, if we look at our history, which God tells us, remember, 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 if we go back to that, these situations have arisen before. And God has saved his people. I mean, and he has brought about a redemption of his people as a result of that. So, you know, does that make some sense? I mean,
it does. It does. It is still the gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the way that God is the way that God puts his hand out and saves his people and says, here you go, and it's still repent or perish. You said it earlier, John, choose you this day. And that line is getting broader and broader, and people that wouldn't consider themselves religious or Christian or what, because the enemy's done such a good job in souring that in the minds and the eyes of many of the remnant as well, but they are seeing that this is wrong what New York is doing, and it includes, but it goes so much further than just a wall on the southern border, and they are seeing. I think many are seeing that, you know, that this passing laws to where they can kill children right up till birth is just wrong. It is, and
well, it's the reality is we're, you know, we witnessed Ezekiel 9, I think it's 13 and 14, when they passed gay marriage in the Obama administration, but this is much, much more devious than that. And the reality is God using these things to separate the wheat from the tares? I believe he is. Because remember in Ezekiel 9, yes. I think it's 13 and 14, it says, go and put a mark on those who moan and sigh,
yes,
and
yes,
groan at the abominations that are taking place in the land, but those that don't have the mark utterly destroy them, men, women, and children, and start with those in positions of leadership. Some versions say start with those in the leaders in the church, and you know what? That's what's going on here. It's a culling. It's just another sign that the day draws nigh, you know.
It is.
We just witnessed the super blood moon, and if you watch that, it was pretty spectacular. And you know, God told us that he would show us that the day draws nigh, and it's time to get your life right with God.
Amen.
I've been more convicted than ever before that we need to try to reach as many people as we can about the critical importance of being born again of the water and the Spirit. It's the only way to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's how the Bible says you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if that Holy Spirit doesn't reside in you, even if you think that you've changed from your wicked ways, you may think because you go to church 2 hours a week that you're good to go. Well, got news for you. There's also scriptures that say better that you didn't learn about God, because when you fell away, that second state becomes worse than the first. I didn't write it, but it's
Amen.
More than one scripture.
Amen.
The fact that when a demon was cast out of a man, and because the house was swept clean and there was more room, seven more returned. That's hopefully what I'm going to speak on tomorrow. I think it's so important. Sometimes we think that we're doing good just by reaching people, but if it's superficial, in reality, we're not doing good. We're making their circumstances worse than they would be if they never knew. So it's so important that we don't just try to get people to get baptized. It doesn't mean anything without repentance, without dying to your old life, without willing to change and turn from your wicked ways. That's
Absolutely.
The whole key to this thing. And too many people are just trying to win a person for the moment. And guess what? You're not doing them any favors. In fact, the Bible is 100% clear. You are making things
worse for them come judgment day. So think about that. If you're not willing to spend the time to not only try to show them what the truth is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not willing to feed them, to fill that gap, then you're not doing them any favors.
Absolutely. Amen. I agree.
Amen. Amen.
And I kind of wondered...
As many of you become teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment. I didn't write that either.
That's right.
But that's a warning. That's a warning to those people who dabble in Christianity. And there's a lot that do that, you know, with great reward comes great responsibility. God doesn't play games. His word is true. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And we need to realize that, and we need to warn these people. I'm going to give an example of it tomorrow. There's a man that, you know, started to dabble in Christianity, started to dabble in truth. And when he started to see the truth, he knew that he'd have to change his ways, change his life, change the people he hung around, maybe even change his profession, because the profession he was in hung around people that he shouldn't hang around with, people with bad morals, people with poor judgment. And he decided not to do that. Instead, he walked away from the truth, and he is 10 times worse condition now than he was then. And I told him, I warned him, I said, look, I don't even know if it's too late, but bottom line is, if you don't change from the path you're on right now, you're headed for destruction. His wife knows it, his children know it, but they don't hold that against me because I warned him. God showed me just as clear as can be that exactly what it says in Matthew and Luke happened to him.
Amen.
You may try to get rid of that one demon, that one thing that's hindering your walk with God, but if you don't fill it with the Holy Spirit, if you don't fill it with hungering and thirsting for the truth, you don't fill it with the Word, then all you did was make more room for sevenfold those demons that were affecting you the first time. And Lord willing, that's what I'm going to speak about tomorrow. It's so critical that every Christian understands that when we're seeking to fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen. Well, John, let's try a caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Good morning, men.
Good morning, Joe.
Got a scriptural verse here, a couple of them. I'll read it real quick, and then I'll make a comment and hang up. I know you guys are coming to the end. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9, there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic. And I'll skip around. They were calling him the great power of God. The guy was, according to Josephus, he was levitating himself and stuff. He was following Philip around, and he got baptized, and he even believed, according to the scripture. But skipped on down and says he wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit, and Peter, evidently the guy was well known. Peter knew him, and he chastised him and told him to repent. And then it says, in verse 24 of the same chapter, but Simon answered and says, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. In other words, he wanted it to be done for him. He didn't want to do it himself. So he was an unrepentant, and he couldn't repent. That's how I read it.
That's why this,
and it is a perfect example of what John just was talking about there.
Amen.
That's why so many people try to say, you know, when you appeared before the Lord for judgment, and God said, or Jesus said, depart from me, I did not know you. Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things in your name? Guess what? You can do all of these great things, but if you don't do it out of love for brethren, it means nothing. Because then you've done it for either personal gain, financial gain, or position. And when you do these things for one of those things, it means nothing to God. If you don't do it out of love for your brethren, because you want to see them have life abundantly, then it means nothing. That's what we need to get through our head.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. You guys have a blessed day, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
All right. Bye.
Exodus 20:20 ties into that. You know, it's fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And, you know, that verse confuses some people that were told not to fear, but then it says God's fear may be before you, but that's what keeps us from sinning, is that abasement. And when you understand how great God is and how insignificant you are, that his fear would be before you, that you don't sin, you know. And like you said, love, humble yourselves. I mean, how many times are we told that? You know,
yes.
It's there.
It is. And that love, like you said, John, that love covers a multitude of sins, he talks about, you know, and that whoever turns one brother from his sinning ways by doing just like you did, John, by pointing out and saying, listen here, brother, this is in love. This is not to put you down. This is not to as the world would look at it, to judge you, but to let you know, to, you know, being that Ezekiel watchman on the wall and warning our brethren. Saying, you know, brother, this is you do need to repent if you can, if there's time, because the path you're on is the wrong path, and those things are not only what we're supposed to do, but they are right in the eyes of God. They are what we are to be doing, and out of love. Out of love, not again out of position, not out of authority, but out of love. Now we may have the position and authority to do that, but it has to be out of love. You know, nothing else is of any course. The word tells us, you know, whether you can tell the mountain to move, whether you can tell the sea to dry up, whether you can, it does not matter if it's not with love. It has to be there, and you know, again, there's one of the other importances of reading the Word, of finding out what God approves of, what His Word says. You know, it's reestablishing that foundation of making sure when we read His Word, seeing, you know, what is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Maybe we heard something at a church on Sunday, or heard a pastor this, or had a friend say this, but it's what is good and acceptable in the sight of God that counts.
Yeah, you know, our pastor used to say that he was embarrassed of the profession that he represented as pastors, and you know, more and more you can understand that. Here just recently, I think. I read it last week sometime, but there's a group of pastors, supposedly ministers, representation of men of God and women of God, imagine that are getting together to pray for and bless abortion clinics in Ohio. So, I mean, that just shows you how far we've degraded, and if you wonder why people have not only wandered away from mainstream Judeo-Christianity, but they're fleeing mainstream Judeo-Christianity.
Yes.
It's things like that drive the people away. And don't think that these people haven't infiltrated these positions to do just that, to destroy what is real.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is those false Baal priests that were in the position of authority, that were in the position of being the priests in the temple, and they were not priests of God, they were priests of Baal. They were false. And it's by their fruits. It is by their fruits. What are you doing? What are you doing that is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? And praying for abortion clinics to be blessed is not good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It is not at all. Wow. Well, guys, maybe some closing comments. Got a couple minutes left this morning. Tim? Well,
the shibboleth of old is still the shibboleth of today. If they're not teaching repentance, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, if they're not teaching tithing, and you can say that that's for your own personal gain, no, it's not. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me and see if this isn't true. And the bottom line is, God said that if you believe me and you follow my laws, statutes, and commandments, then your blessings will overflow. I didn't write it. He wrote it. Our pastor taught us many years ago that even these preachers that were set up to be like Billy Sunday and, you know, some even Graham and all them, they're given that shibboleth as well. And many of them fail that test. They decide that they're willing to whore themselves and exclude things that benefit God's people, specifically to destroy God's people.
Amen. Amen. And it's written in the scriptures that it's not the gift that's desired, but the blessing that comes on the people when they tithe. And that's just one example. You know, you want God to open up the windows of heaven for you and your family? Do what His Word says. Do what His Word says. It really is as simple as that. Well, guys, thanks so much this morning. Remnant, we thank you for calling in. Thank you for the phone calls and for the support and the prayers that you offer up for us. Know that we pray for you as well. And we want to invite you to come to church tomorrow. You can do that. If you have a computer and internet at your house, you can do it without leaving your home. Just join us starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can join us at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream, and we'll have some biblical teaching for you and a timeless pulpit message. John, looking forward to that live message that you're bringing. We'll have communion and some Holy Spirit-inspired music, fellowship, and praise and worship. So we invite you to come and join us, and we're thankful that we're able to do this. Well, men, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 shake hard.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.